how much infinitely more should we be filled with anticipation and readiness as we await the return of the King? How much more? Staying awake, alert, in prayer, anticipating. How much more should we be passionately and actively serving Christ? Loving His church as we wait. Serving in selflessness as we wait.
Welcome back, Live in the Light listeners, where today we continue along in our series, No Turning Back. Honestly, we felt like this has been such an important series as we consider directly from Jesus himself key teachings about enduring, about being faithful to the end, about holding fast to him in shaky times, about finishing well with our heads up, about having lived a life that truly honors the Lord Jesus. Now, over the past few days, we've already looked at how, if we want to be faithful to the end, character is going to matter. We've looked at how, if we want to be faithful to the end, the Word of God is essential about how greatness is found, not in the things that we own, but in the things that we sacrifice for the sake of others. And today, we look at a critical fourth lesson. As believers who do not want to turn back, we must be men and women who are ready for his return. Let's go to our teacher, Pastor Ravi, in Luke chapter 12 to help us understand more.
Again, I love the Exodus imagery here. Love when God says to his people, have your belt fast and have your sandals ready, eat and with haste. It's like if you're eating, but one eye looking for Christ, as you're working, yet one eye looking for Christ, even as you're playing, yet one eye anticipating the return of Christ at any moment. That's awesome. That's what it means. Be ready, no matter what we're doing. And this is our call today. The emphatic call of Christ for his church. Too many are not dressed. Too many are unprepared. Too many do not have their lamps lit. Again, notice in verse 35, keep your lamps burning. Present tense, always have your lamps burning. Not a few hours of the day, every hour of every day, keep your lamps burning, ready to be seen and to see the Savior return. So many are so distracted by the world, they have forgotten Christ. You know, I wonder if we've ever had a season like the one we're in right now. I wonder if we've ever had a season like the one we're in right now, so rife with distraction after distraction. So many asleep on the couch, so many drunk with wine, so many numb with entertainment, so many entangled in issue after issue, so many bloated in gluttony, so many preoccupied with politics. Jesus says, stay dressed and ready for action. What I'm aware of right now is some will hear the first part of this message and the call for urgency and readiness. And some will take this call from Christ and they will desire to double down in conspiracy, in certain issues of conspiracy. I just need to make sure you know that's not what I'm advocating at all. That is not what Jesus is talking about here. Let me be very, very clear. To stay dressed and ready for action, this is to double down on Jesus. This is to double down in prayer. This is to double down on evangelism, on the gospel. This is to double down with my life on the watchfulness and the readiness for the return of Christ. And just as we brought up conspiracy, because there's a lot going on in our world with this, and it is distracting many, many, many people. I just want to read for you John Piper in one of his Ask Pastor John segments. He talked about right now the issue of conspiracies in certain people. And I commend you to go to this Ask Pastor John segment from April 23rd of this year. But let me just read for you, though, part of what he said in this. I just want to take the time. I think it's very, very helpful, very, very insightful and wise. He says this, what I've seen over the years is that there's a certain kind of personality, or more seriously, we would call it a certain kind of spiritual condition that seems unable to be profoundly engaged with, unable to be deeply moved by, unable to rejoice in the great central glorious realities of the Christian faith. He goes on to say, they're always on the margins. It's as though their minds and hearts are like magnets that are constantly attracting little iron fragments from the edges instead of the big massive thing at the center. And ultimately, the things of greatest importance get neglected. The glory, the wonder, the beauty of the Christian faith is passed over, and they're always fascinated with marginal things that are not preeminent. There's a lot of wisdom there. You know, I bring that up today. Listen, I'm not asking you to be offended by what I just read. And I'm not sure why anyone would be offended by that. Here's what I'm asking from all of us right now. Can we be humble enough to at least ask the question, is there any of that, what I just read, in me? That's what I'm asking for our people right now. As so many issues are tending to divide so many, can I at least be humble enough to ask the question, just to ask the question of myself, is it possible that I've been overly distracted by side issues that I'm missing out on the love of Christ himself? Can I just be humble enough to ask the question? Please, Lord. Because in the end, if we have lost the center on Jesus Christ and his glory, we can know one thing for sure, we're not in the center of God's will. Ever. There's no way. There's no way. Be dressed and ready for action again for the turn of Christ. I was so encouraged this week too, because I'm in this text, and again, all my study for the sermon, yet in my personal readings, was confirmed in the places I was in the New Testament. 1 Peter 1, verse 13, like, look, here's one of my readings this week. Just imagine how encouraged I would have been. I want you to be. Therefore, preparing your minds for action. Now, this phrase is literally girding the loins of your mind. That's awesome. That was my reading this week. I'm like, yes, Lord, that's awesome. And being sober-minded, set your hope fully, fully on the grace. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird the loins of your minds. How? Set your hope fully on the return of Christ and the grace that will be brought to us at that time. This is the call for believers. Set your hope fully on these things and see where God takes you there. I must stay dressed and ready for action. Point number two, I must wait with anticipation. Look at verse 36 now. Jesus says, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. So now notice you have servants who are eagerly waiting. They are anticipating the arrival and the return of the master. Now, wedding feasts in ancient times, they could last for days, right? So the return of the master would often be delayed or prolonged. But notice what we see in our text here. Notice the obvious attitude of the servants, okay? Notice the eagerness to see the master. They are so eager to see him come. Question for us, how often do we think on the return of Christ? How often we feel with eagerness at the return of Christ. Notice the patience they have in waiting for their master. For we know to our God, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. As we've said in the past, that means the return of Christ has been delayed in one sense by 2 days now. It's been 2,000 years or 2 days. Notice there's no signs of complaining or grumpiness about the master. See that? They're not complaining. They're not grumpy. They're all filled with agitation. Holy Spirit, fill us with you, Spirit of God, that we may bear the fruit of the Spirit of God and love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness. May we bear your fruit, O Holy Spirit, as we wait with anticipation the return of Christ. Notice in these servants, there's no indications of growing weary or fatigued. They are filled with anticipation to greet him as he comes, staying awake throughout the night because they long to see him. So way back when I was dating Jill, of course, my wife now, and I, that was a long time ago now. I remember there was a time when I was dating Jill and she went away for, it was at least a week, and she had returned home and she was coming over to my parents' house, and I specifically, you know, I can still remember the emotions I felt as I'm looking out kind of that window by the front door to see if her car's here. Is she here yet? You know, is she here yet? You know, walking along, is she here yet? It's amazing, isn't it? Just like you're so filled with excitement for the arrival and anticipation of the person that you love. And then it's there and it's amazing. In that moment, the emotions that come up, there's no fatigue. You know what I'm talking about? There's no fatigue. You're ready. You're alert. You're not falling asleep. You can't wait. Is she here? Still remember those emotions. Love you, Jill, who's watching right now. I hope she is. How much infinitely more should we be filled with anticipation and readiness as we await the return of the King? How much more? Staying awake, alert, in prayer, anticipating. How much more should we be passionately and actively serving Christ? Loving his church as we wait. Serving in selflessness as we wait. You know, COVID or no COVID, God's working. Have you noticed? God's working. Here's a question. Is he working in you? God's always working. Question is he working in you? I love in verse 36, it says, that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Again, it's like when you know someone is coming over and again, you're watching for them to pull up in the driveway. You let them knock, but you're ready to answer. You were ready to answer before they knock. You're standing at the door like, oh, hey, how's it going, right? And they knock and you're ready in the moment. You open the door and you say, welcome. You quickly greet them. Notice that's what these servants are doing. They're anticipating. As soon as they knock, doors open. Knock, knock. Open. Doors open. Welcome. Welcome, Master. I love this truth. Waiting with anticipation. Titus 2:11. Look at this. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. You want to see what God's grace produces in us again in salvation? The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Look at the grace of God through salvation, waiting for our blessed hope. One of the great fruits of the grace of God in salvation in our lives is we are waiting. We are actively waiting with anticipation for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This connects with this. Waiting. The blessed hope, the appearing of Jesus Christ. This is one of the great markers of those who will finish well. I'm telling you, for those who are going to do well in the last days, it's so clear. Their vision is so clear. They wait with such fervency. D.L. Moody, again, one of the great preachers of the 19th century. It was said of him when D.L. Moody preached in Brooklyn in 1875, thousands were converted. Pastor Henry Ward Beecher struggled to understand this phenomenon until he met Moody personally. Pastor Beecher, he says, I saw the secret of his working and plans. Moody, he is a believer in the second advent and in our own time, he thinks that Christ may come even tomorrow. That was the observation of Pastor Beecher towards D.L. Moody, one of the most impactful, again, pastors in the last several hundred years. Beecher concluded this. He says, I should be a burning fire all the time if I believed like that. Believe what? That Christ could come even today. I must wait with anticipation. I can't resist. Okay, this is also in my readings this week, James 5. I just have to share these things with you. James 5, 8, 9. You have to meet. So I'm in Luke chapter 12, and this is my personal reading. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. This is amazing. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. I read these verses this week like I've never read them before. I read them hundreds of times. This kind of flew out to me. Like, I'm just like, that is incredible. The judge is standing at the door. Be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Amazing. Wait with anticipation. And let me just remind us all too, right now, as we are tempted towards frustration, the enemy wants us to grumble against one another. Like, let's be so clear. The enemy is trying to use this as a time in our impatience, frustration, and anger to take our anger out on others. It's a classic scheme of the devil. Let's be wiser than him. Let's be aware of what he's trying to do. In our impatience, God, give us patience. In our frustration, God, give us kindness. In our temptation towards anger, give us love. It's a fight against one another. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. Let us wait with anticipation. I must be dressed and ready for action. I must wait with anticipation. Thirdly, I must be found awake. Amen. I must be found awake. Verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. Now in verse 37, notice our word blessed shows up from a few weeks ago. The same one in the Beatitudes, verse 37. This is happy, fulfilled, rewarded are those who are found to be awake. Because how can you be ready if you're fast asleep? Fair? That's fair. How can you be ready if you're fast asleep? Now, I read this week a story of a woman on an Air Canada flight who fell asleep on the flight, and somehow she woke up hours after the plane had landed. Like, she literally woke up at midnight to a totally empty plane in pitch blackness. This happened like less than 2 years ago. How does that happen? I'm not sure, but it did. You imagine her phone was dead, no way to charge it. The plane, of course, wasn't powered on. She had fallen asleep and missed her arrival, and she wakes up shrouded in darkness, the only person in the plane. Everyone else was gone. Air Canada flight. Well, the power of the biblical theme of staying awake. And this theme is prevalent throughout Scripture. Let me show you some of those powerful verses on this theme in the New Testament, the commands to stay awake. Can we do that now? Do we have those? Matthew 24. Jesus says, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. That's pretty clear. Mark 13, be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. Next slide. 1 Corinthians 15, wake up from your drunken stupor. Do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. Wake up from your drunken stupor. Next slide. 1 Thessalonians 5, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Who's that for? Next slide. Revelation 3, remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know in what hour I will come against you. Matthew 26, watch and pray. Stay awake. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. You think Jesus is serious about us staying awake? Because now look at what happens to those who are awake spiritually when the master comes. Look at verse 37, halfway through verse 37. He says, truly I say to you, the master will dress himself for service and have them recline at his table. The master will come and serve them. He will come and serve them, it says right there. So this is remarkable. The master is so pleased with the attentiveness and the readiness of the servants that he flips the table and he serves them. The servants are treated to a feast of joy, laughter, and perpetual blessing. Jesus here is referring to the scene of the eternal banquet. that awaits all true believers. Oh, what a day that will be. Do not miss it. Do not fall asleep. A song we love to sing, a new song, Christ Our Hope in Life and Death. One of the verses says, unto the grave what will we sing? Christ, He lives, Christ, He lives. And what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with Him. Then we will rise to meet the Lord. Then sin and death will be destroyed. I love this verse. And we will feast on endless joy. Give me some of that meal. When Christ is ours forevermore. Loved ones, this is coming. Stay awake. We will feast on endless joy. Live with readiness. Be alert. Stop falling asleep on the couch and entertainment and all the distractions of the world. I must be dressed and ready for action. Wait with anticipation. I must be found awake. And this leads us to our fourth and begs the question, our final point, which is this question. Are you ready? As serious as I can be, are you ready right now for the return of Christ? In verse 38, Jesus speaks of the master coming in a second or third watch. The Jews divided their night by three watches. This is symbolic of the perceived delay of the return of Christ. The later the night goes, the more difficult it can be, of course, to stay awake. But these servants, they do. They find themselves ready no matter what time of night it is. Here we are in the 21st century. Return of Christ seemingly is delayed. Will we be found awake? Jesus then changes the imagery here in verse 39, and he explains, if you knew when a thief was coming, would you ever leave your house? Would you just leave your house and let your house be robbed? No, the point then, if you knew the thief is coming in verse 40, he says, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. He's coming. He says, I'm coming. Be ready. I'm coming in an hour you do not expect. Let me ask you again. Are you ready? You right now. Whoever's listening, whoever's watching, you right now, in your home, in your office, wherever you might find yourself, are you ready for the return of Christ? Are you sure you're ready? How do you know you're ready? Does your life say that you're ready? If he came today, if Christ came today, if the trumpet sounded today, are you ready? Are you truly ready? Are you saved in Jesus Christ? How do you know you're saved in Christ? Is there fruit coming from your life? Do you really know him? Do you know about him or do you know him? Are you ready? Have you truly given your life to Christ? Have you truly repented of sin and seen the evidence of the Holy Spirit regenerating you and causing you to be born again and seeing his fruit from your life? Have you seen that? Has it been here, but not here? Are you ready for the return of Christ? Is Jesus Christ truly your Lord? I'm telling you, if you wait till he comes, it's too late. The moment he comes, man, time's up. It's up. You think you still have time? You think you'll wait for next year? Our text says today, I'm coming at an hour you do not expect. Are you ready? Child, are you ready? Are you ready for the return of Christ? Because the moment Jesus Christ returns, the only thing you will eternally care about is what you've done and what you've believed about Jesus Christ. Every other single aspect of life falls to the ground in ashes. The only one who matters is Jesus Christ the Lord. Child, are you ready? Do not wait another second. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Confess him as Lord. Ask for forgiveness of your sins. Believe that Jesus Christ lived, died on the cross for your sins, rose from the dead to defeat death itself, ascended to the Father, and one day very soon he is returning to gather all those that are his. Are you ready? Are you ready? Just to bring it home today. questions I want us to consider on this incredibly important topic. Name one thing or pursuit that is ruining your readiness for Christ's return. Name one thing or pursuit right now in your life that is ruining your readiness for Christ's return. What idol, obsession, habit, hobby, desire, pleasure? This one, what would change in your life right now if you were truly dressed and ready for action? What would look different about your life and mine if we were truly dressed and ready for action? What habits would be gone? What habits would be formed? What hobbies would be put down? What other ones picked up in the Lord? What would look different about our lives if we were truly dressed and ready for action and having, again, our loins girded? Here's a good question. Do you think you are truly awake spiritually? Why or why not? Why would you say that? If you don't think you're awake spiritually, why not? Do you think you are truly awake spiritually? Does your life live this? Why or why not? That's a very powerful question. This is probably the most important question of the day, though. If Christ returned today, are you truly ready? Listen, you can be. You can be ready today for the return of Jesus Christ. We've already said it. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. The Bible promises you shall be saved. Jesus says, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Faith in Jesus Christ. Child, are you ready? Be ready. Lord, save lives today. I pray right now, wherever they are, whoever's watching and listening, Lord, I pray you will cause so many people to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. The moment he comes, it's too late. It's not too late yet. God help us. God save so many. Let's pray, church. Pray with me, would you? Let's have every person pray. Let's have every person, wherever you are, pray with me. Don't let me do it by myself. Let's pray together. God save people today. Amen, church, save people today. Oh God, I pray that you will let people see that Jesus Christ is the life. Jesus Christ is purpose. Jesus Christ is meaning. Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is hope. Jesus Christ is goodness. Jesus Christ is salvation. Jesus Christ is Savior. Jesus Christ is Lord. Please, Lord, would you open eyes that people would believe in Jesus Christ and that they would be saved, and then they are ready. Help your church to live as though we are ready. May we prove it with our lives. Please, God, work, renew. Renew minds, Lord. I pray idols would be smashed. I pray habits would change. I pray sober-mindedness would take root. Lord, even every home represented right now, every life, even as we sing, use it now. Use it now as an expression of affection, clarity, and love. I pray we're ready for your return. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
So happy to have you listening again today at Live in the Light. Each day we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or on our podcasts available on Apple, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light.